Once again to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rework Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. I'm your announcer, Papa Newt of papanewt.com in Kansas City, Missouri. And in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-hosts, Catherine Ironwood of luckymojo.com in Forestville, California, and Conjurman Ali of conjurmanali.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week, we'll be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers, Ty Armand of ConjureInTheCity.com in Brooklyn, New York. They'll take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African-American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or rootwork as divined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooists of our time. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who sign up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and call into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first, let's catch up with our co-hosts, Miss Cat and Conjurman Ali. Miss Cat?
Hi, Papa Newt. So nice to hear you. I take it that our Miss Tammy Lee is having a week's vacation, and you're here. I'm always surprised. I never know who the announcer is going to be. I just know it's going to be someone with a beautiful voice. So how are things in Kansas City, Papa Newt?
Busy. I've had quite a few clients that I've been just really helping with, preparing just custom-made spiritual baths, and just really making sure that they're, because we've been getting a couple people that have been taken advantage of, so I'm doing everything I can to help them to be educated so this doesn't happen again. It's always a lot going on.
I know what you mean. You know, the job of being a spiritual counselor is a lot more than just being some kind of all-powerful Oz. You know what I mean? There are people around us who want to be the all-powerful Oz, and they want to be, you know, wow, I'm a real hoodoo conjure doctor and all that stuff. But as you said, our job is to help people get through situations and then also to help them get through situations that these all-powerful Oz's got them into. As you said, being taken advantage of. Yeah, I know what you mean. Well, more power to you, and thank you, because there's a lot of teaching that needs to be done here, as well as remediation. And you are a very wise man, and I'd love to see what you do, Papa Newt. I love to follow you and follow your career and your exploits. So. And it's always nice to have you as an announcer.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's see. What's going on here in beautiful, lovely Forestville is the drought is back in force. We had our rain, and it's gone. It's sunny as all get out. Looks like spring out here. Magnolia trees in bloom and all the rest. It's just a climate change nightmare. Pretty. It's pretty, but I don't see how we're going to hold up with this. All this drought is going to, there'll be hell to pay in the end. I know that. But everything is going well at the shop, and we have been working very hard on handmade products. We've hired a couple of new people, and we're going to be training them. You know, all of our products are handmade, and people say, what does that mean? Well, that means handmade. There's no factory. It was like originally a little boutique that, you know, that me and a woman named Susie Bosselman used to make every single oil, bath crystal, incense powder, and sachet powder by hand, pack all the herbs by hand. But as the company grew, we hired more and more people. Well, Susie's passed on, and we miss her still dearly. But over the years, we've had more and more people come to work, and each one of them needs to be trained. You just don't, you know, put a note up on a monster.com or Craigslist and say, we're hiring root workers. And in fact, we don't hire root workers. We hire people who take my course, learn how to understand how products are made. You can't just throw somebody into it. So these next couple of weeks, we have a couple of new people coming in, and we will be training them how to make products, what the products are about. And we don't hire anybody who doesn't have some background in religio, folklorico, spirituality, somehow or another. But it's an interesting situation. Meanwhile, I've been hard at work on the books project for the upcoming Hoodoo Heritage Festival, and editing and typesetting my little heart out. So that's what's been going on up here. And I want to give a special shout out to everyone in the shop, and everybody's been working very hard to make everything and get everything together. All right, well, that's it for my news. And one more thing I just got to throw in. You know, I always got to throw in something irrelevant. If you have ever had your DNA tested, anybody listening to my voice now or in the future, if you've ever had your DNA tested and you come up with mitochondrial DNA haplogroup H6A1A1A, please drop me a line. All the rest of you can ignore that. I'll say it one more time. Mitochondrial haplogroup H6A1A1A. Just looking for some missing people here on the big old family tree of life. All right. With that, I'm going to bring in my dear co-host, Conjurman Ali. How are you today?
Oh, thank you. I am doing lovely. Thank you for asking. It's been a great weekend, lover's weekend, so it's been nice and fun, been quite busy. Very excited to see, as the week has progressed, the Hoodoo Heritage Festival, which looks so exciting with some amazing presenters and great books that you're editing that are going to come out for the weekend. Unfortunately, I won't be there this year, but I'll be there in spirit, and I'm rooting for everyone. And every day as I read more and more about it, I'm like, I'm missing out on something really amazing this year.
I know you're not going to be there, Ali, but we are going to have a lot of people. Tickets are on sale now. If you go to HoodooHeritageFestival.com, you can get in on the early bird tickets. The prices will gradually, incrementally rise during the course of time. So join now. That helps us with the little savings that you get to make. We get to have the money to play with while we work out what we're doing in terms of furniture rental and all those things that make a festival what it is, food purchases and so forth. So, early bird special is on at HoodooHeritageFestival.com. Thanks for pointing that out. Yeah.
Oh, it looks like it's going to be absolutely fantastic. What amazing classes are lined up. And, just reading over what Kai, who are one of our wonderful guests, what he's got planned. Oh, man, you all are in for a treat. Let me
I know. Kai is our guest today, and Kai is working on a book, which is not the topic today. But we'll get him back on before the festival to talk about what his upcoming book is. But his book is called Deliverance, and it's about uncrossing and jinx breaking. But let's bring Kai on. Hi, Kai. How are you doing today?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me.
Welcome.
Oh, well, we just love to have you here. And we just love your show. I follow it regularly. That is On Sacred Ground every Saturday. It's one of those unusual kind of noon afternoon shows for me. And it's a little different because most of the shows on the LMC radio network are on in the evening. But On Sacred Ground is always available in the archives. So, folks, if you haven't checked it out, do check it out. It's really a good show.
It's a fantastic show. Definitely.
Yeah, it is. Now, I know you're hard at work on your book, Deliverance. Give us about two sentences on that, and then we're going to get to our actual panel discussion for the day.
Sure. You know, I would say that Deliverance is me bringing together hoodoo and hoodoo practices and hoodoo techniques and practices, but within a framework that, based on my own healing journey, I'm trying to bring about healing. Taking uncrossing and jinx breaking out of the box of just removing harmful energies, but how do I really get out of something very, very difficult? What are the tools I need to live life well in a full way? And of course, I don't have all the answers to those questions, but I know a little something based on my own path. So that's what deliverance is.
Well, this book is going to be something. It's really, really nice. And I'm very, very happy you're going to be teaching a workshop on this as well. And
yeah.
So folks who come out to our Hoodoo Heritage Festival know that when you come to a workshop where the presenter has written a book, you will get a free copy of the book included in the price of your ticket. We're not one of these cheap little festivals where you just wander around saying hi to people. We give you things, a lot of things. And
a lot of
goodies. Yeah, we have good goodie bags. Our goodie bags are the best. But that Kai's book will be included in the price of tickets for the weekend. So, we're really, really looking forward to that, Kai. Now, we have had a lot of interchange between the different shows on the LMC Radio Network. Conjurman Ali was recently a guest on your show, and the discussion was on jinn, Arabic jinns in folk magic. And I'm not going to get into that here because that ain't the topic here. But again, for those who listen to these shows, if you can go over to the On Sacred Ground logs and find the show that Ali was on, you'll kind of see the inverse converse. now Kai is a guest here with Ali and me. So,
and he'll be a guest again very soon because we had to do a part two on that one. It was just amazing.
Yes, we have to do part two on the jinn. That was
definitely
something. It was definitely something. Yeah. So, We all kind of know each other, work together, and it's going to be real interesting to see all of how these radio shows all kind of interlock. All right. Now, let's get to what today's topic is. And it's a good one here for people in California. Maybe a little premature for some of you all back east under the umpty feet of snow that you've all been having. But today's topic is working with plant spirits. And I'm going to do just a little tiny bit of introduction on that, as I always do with these panels. My interest in hoodoo was prompted by a number of things when I was young, as a child. My family has a long history of interest in biology. There are scientists in my family and amateur botanists and so forth, and amateur life sciences people of all types. And also in my family, there was a lot of people who were interested in folklore, so I came by it naturally. I got interested in hoodoo first because I was interested in African-American music as exemplified by rhythm and blues music that I heard on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And I've told that story before, but one thing led to another, and what I found out was here was a shop full of herbs and roots. And some of these were herbs and roots I knew about through studying with my own mother, who was interested in the herbal folklore and medical herbology. And some of them were things I'd never heard of before. Some of them were used slightly differently in hoodoo. So among my very first studies in African-American folk magic was to learn the use of the herbs and the roots and how these plant spirits were connected to the practices of spirituality. And for me, as an amateur gardener, herb collector, wildcrafter, it was a very broad and easy road into hoodoo through herbs. Now, everyone comes in through different paths, and I happen to approach by several at once. But the first book I wrote about hoodoo was called Hoodoo Herb and Root Magic because of the ease with which that entrance was opened to me. Now, working with plants can be seen in several different contexts. Some people look at it strictly as, you know, medical herbology that's been applied to a spiritual context. And we can look at a plant and say, well, this plant is a laxative, and therefore it could be used magically to make something be unwanted, be removed. And in fact, that does happen quite a lot. But it's not just because of its medical use. The medical use actually expresses something about the personality of that plant, and it's that personality that you're working with. Some people are allergic to some plants and will never work with them. Some love certain plants and will always work with them. Some people have go-to plants, plants who speak to them. There are psychotropic plants that have always had a part in religion and spirituality. There are plants that are simply visually interesting, and their use in magic is based on the way they look. So, having said all of that, what I have to tell the people who are interested in hoodoo and how it relates to medical magical herbology is this. Don't dismiss one side for the other exclusively. Never only look at plants as medical and as magic as an analog. Conversely, never only look at plants spiritually without looking a little bit at their scientific relationship to one another, their taxonomic connections in families. And one reason I say this goes back to what Papa Newt said at the very beginning. He said he was helping some people who'd been taken advantage of. And one of the major ways that urban practitioners of hoodoo are taken advantage of is the substitution of one herb or root for another based on gross physical appearance, which is what I was told by an old man who's now dead. He called it green for green and brown for brown. If somebody ordered a green herb and he was out of it, he just put another green herb in the bag and give it the wrong label. And people can be taken advantage of that way, especially if an herb is expensive or rare and someone doesn't know what it looks like. A cheaper herb may be substituted. This happens all the time. There's been recent scandals in the medical supplement field that certain capsules of things such that are contained, say, for instance, saw palmetto or whatever, have been investigated by the FDA, and they don't contain any of the named herbs. So my advice to people is learn your herbs, learn their taxonomic or scientific, or some people call Latin names, learn their medical uses, and learn their spiritual uses as the three legs of a stable table upon which you can build your practice. That was my introduction. Let's turn it over to Kai.
Oh, I love that introduction so much, and you're tying in a medicinal use and how all of these different fields are all our ways of trying to understand and work with the personality of a plant. And, you know, before I came to hoodoo, long before I was a hoodoo practitioner, I was practicing sort of generic neo-Euro-American practices magically. And a lot of books, you know, sort of take these herbs and roots and assign a very, very wide variety of ideas to them. You know, basil, it's for love and healing and magic and protection and divination. And it's just like, you know, just a list of words. And shortly after that, I actually had some experiences with herbs that were really direct. And they weren't because I was actually doing anything magical with them. I had just sort of come across them nonstop. In my show yesterday, I was actually talking about animal helping spirits and how they will show up in someone's life by showing up again and again and again. You're walking down the street and you see a sign that says giraffe, and then you open the book and there's a giraffe, and you're just like, hold on. there's a lot of giraffe going on. There, you know, maybe something's trying to speak to me. And that actually happened to me with the herb catnip at a certain time in my life. And that during that time of my life, actually, I was feeling very lethargic. I was feeling very lethargic and very paralyzed. I was actually in college, and I was having a very hard time getting my work done. And there were just times where I just felt entirely frozen. And it was during that period that I actually started apprenticing for an herbalist in the town
next over, and I told him, I said, you know, it's so funny because catnip is showing up everywhere. Every time I open a book, every time I, you know, open my browser, there's something about catnip. And he said, well, you should talk to it. And I said, oh, I can't do that. That's so out there and strange. And this is a really dear topic to my heart because right now when it comes to psychotropic plants such as, or psychotropic brews like ayahuasca, the whole Western world is going, oh, my gosh, plants speak? And I'm over here like, yeah, duh, go to your local corner, Botanica. Like, they're speaking on your block. They're not just speaking in faraway lands. You know, there are traditions that have, that are being practiced by the people next door to you that maintain that plants are far more than just, you know, spices that we put on a burger, or far more than some molecules that we pick, you know, out of to make it a medicine. So I actually, you know, did begin to develop a relationship with catnip, much like someone might begin a relationship with a working spirit, such as Saint Cyprian or San Simon. And I would go and talk to it and find out, well, what do you have to say? What are you, you know, who are you? What's your medicine? And I jotted some things down. I was very, very not sure of myself. But I went back to that herbalist who I was apprenticing under, and I said, well, catnip had these things to say to me. And he said that it makes so much sense on so many levels. It makes sense medicinally. It makes sense in terms of natural herbalism on so many levels. Why don't you start drinking a tea of it? And I began to do that. But what I found was that this lethargy I had been experiencing and this deep procrastination began to be lifted within a week. Because my experience with catnip, part of its medicine, part of its personality, is a friendliness. This friendliness that it can engender between two things. And for me, it was engendering a friendliness between my spirit and my body. And at that time, that sort of lethargy was coming out of this place where my spirit and my body were not kind of operating as one. So that actually went on to, and I'm sure I've written about this on my blog or elsewhere. I probably said it 1,000 times on the show. But it went on to me developing strong plant relationships with various plants, and then being able to see how in certain traditions, like hoodoo, I even found those aspects reflected yet again. So that's my story. Plants are real, are living, and to me, one of the biggest things I'm always telling people when I am teaching or tutoring in hoodoo root work and magical practice is don't just throw these things in a bottle. Don't just throw them on a plate. Don't just cover them in a candle. Talk to them. Listen to what they have to say. Let them show you how they're going to affect this change, the role that they're going to play in this spell. Really listen. They'll tell you, sometimes they'll tell you the amounts that they want to add to a certain thing. And express gratitude to them. They're just wonderful beings that are just wonderful teachers that can be worked with in so many ways, but we have to get real about the fact that they have personalities, that they have that they're so much broader in their depth than the neat categories we want to assign to them.
That's I'm 100% with you there. I have one comment based on what something Papa Newt just said in the chat room. He said, you need to get your fingers into the herb or the root and welcome it. That is so true. And and Nagashiva in the chat room said, intuition as a directing and orienting guide. That is so true, too. But I also caution people to do their research. In other words, I'm going to tell you something from my past, because you mentioned catnip. I don't know if you know that catnip is one of the, back in the old days, before people just smoked marijuana buds, when they would just smoke loose leaf, you know, catnip was one of the major adulterants of marijuana. That and oregano. Oregano smelt more like marijuana, but it had no effect on you. Catnip had a psychotropic effect. And I was a drug dealer at the time. I was a marijuana dealer. And I had perfected a way to cut marijuana with a combination of oregano and catnip that you could not tell it had been adulterated because it smelled, with the addition of the oregano, like marijuana, but it had the psychotropic effect of catnip. Okay. Now, I tell you this because that's kind of a secret from the past. I don't think anyone does that anymore. You know, things are more normalized now. But when you talk about catnip, and I talk about catnip, and you talk about it being friendly, it is very friendly and in a kind of a mild kittenish version of marijuana, to me. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
It's kittenish. It's like a little kitten as compared to a big old lion. It will do something to you. It will stone you out. It stones out cats. That's why we do it, you know. But it's interesting that when you use it, you have to know these things. So people are catnip. It's good for love. Well, here we are. You know what I'm saying? It's the day after Valentine's Day. I hope you got yours on Valentine's Day. catnip is more than just a name. You know what I'm saying? Catnip will actually make people lose their inhibitions. Okay? Just saying. All right.
Oh, absolutely. And exactly, because when you say good for love, that's my thing that I think that some people don't always understand. You know, they say, well, so this is also good for love. And it's like, you know, well, then how is it good for love? What kind of personality does it have? I have two friends who are lawyers. One of them is a criminal justice lawyer. The other one is a divorce lawyer, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And making sense of the way that these plants' perspective on love and catnip is, I'm going to make you lose your inhibitions a bit. I'm going to make you go running. I'm going to make you lose your mind a little bit.
That's right. That's right. But people always talk about, oh, yeah, catnip, it's for love. But, you know, if you knew how much or in what way, you'd be able to use it more directedly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, see what I'm saying? It's very directed. Now let's bring Ali into this. Ali, you tell us what do you have to say about plant spirits? How do you work with them?
You know, I think what you said is very important, that we need to use our intuition and connect spiritually with the spirit of plants, but also pay attention to their use in medicine and herbology and their traditional uses, because what you're doing there is you're grounding that knowledge, right? You're grounding the personal gnosis, the spiritual connection with the lore. And that's very, very important because that allows you a level of sophistication when it comes to using the herb. It takes the herb from being on the plant, from being simply an ingredient, to being an ally. And that's a good approach, frankly, to any type of magical work that you do. It's to start with the traditional knowledge, right? To start with a solid foundation upon which you can build your spiritual experience, right? Because there's a danger of it becoming too formulaic. There's also a danger of it, you taking every, you know, nuance of your mind, every thought in your mind, and misinterpreting it as a message from spirit, right? Mm. So that balance is very important. That balance is very, very important. And I think once you get that balance down, that's when you take your magical work to another whole new level. People who still use herbs and plants as just ingredients, as part of a recipe, are really missing out. For them, magic is very one-dimensional, missing something. But the truly skilled practitioner is able to tap into the spiritual potency of the plant, because the plant has unlocked its mysteries to them. And I use the word mystery very deliberately, because green magic or magic of the green world has mystery involved in it. And there is whole lore associated with single plants. For example, take the rose. The rose is most commonly known now for its ability in love. But the rose is also a deeply mystical plant, appearing in both Christianity and Islam and other religions as a sign of spirit, as a sign of divinity, as mystical experience in union with that divinity. And when you understand that, you understand its connection with love. It's not just because rose is associated with Aphrodite and Greco-Roman mythology, but there's so much more there to the spirit of rose itself. There's whole orders of people today that, through the scent of the rose, induce trance,
mm-hmm.
right? And mm-hmm. so this is something very important, something very important to understand when it comes to working was planned. I did want to ask you guys.
May I break in here?
Because
you just hit on something that is so interesting, and I just got to say something more about the rose, because the rose is one of my leading plants.
Yeah.
The rose, you talked about the scent of a rose and the mystical trance that's induced. There are people who are sent into trances by drumming. There are people for whom drumming does nothing, literally nothing.
Right.
It never does anything. There are people to whom the scent of a rose will send them into a trance state. I am one of those people. There are people for whom the scent of a rose will simply make them sneeze. And there are people who can't even smell it at all. But if you offer a rose to somebody and they smell, and then there's this moment where they do this extra inhalation, it does not happen with every plant. They might go sniff, sniff when they smell catnip. They might go, interesting. But when they smell a rose, there's this hitch in their breath, and then up comes this huge lungful. Why do they do that? The rose has triggered something in their brain, but not in everybody's brain. So I just had to throw that in. When we talk about the rosy cross and the order of the Rosicrucians and all these things, and it's not just, hey, Aphrodite, your roses are pink and they look like vulvas or whatever. You can find many more plants that look more like a vulva. Right. Trust me, an iris, for instance. Right. But the rose has a certain effect on certain people, based possibly on their biochemistry, because I don't think it's cultural per se. And some people literally swoon when they smell a rose. And if you have a person that you know does that, you can do rose magic on them with that rose spirit.
Exactly.
And if they don't, all you're going to do is annoy them.
That's the importance of understanding both the lore as well as its spiritual connection. The lore tells us why it's associated with love. It's connected to Aphrodite. There's different deities of love that are associated with rose. Though people often forget that the ancient Greco-Roman gods actually were more connected with pomegranates than they were rose. But that's just a personal historical pet peeve of mine. But also the rose is associated with the vulva, right, and female genitalia. But then there's also this other quality that if you didn't have that spiritual connection with the living plant itself, you wouldn't know. For you, it's just a formula that you use because someone in a book told you to do so. And that's why that connection to spirit is important. I actually wanted to ask both of you a question is, what plants do you work with that you do have that connection with? For example, Kai mentioned catnip. I just want to mention a few of mine that I use regularly. And I should note that some of these plants you work with as a living plant, right? You have it in your home alive, and that has a different quality and spirit to it than a dried herb. A dried herb is a different type of working. Same spirit, but a different kind of personality of it. For me, for example, calamus is very important. I use calamus on a lot of my work because I tend to do a lot of influence work, and I can add a little bit of calamus to nearly anything I'm doing, whether it's love, money, or something, and I get what I want because I know how to use calamus to sway people to what I want them to do. Rue is huge. I have pockets of rue hidden all over my house because I have a very strong connection with rue. One herb that a lot of people don't know much about, but I use a lot and have a very powerful connection with, is aspand. Aspand is a Mediterranean, Middle Eastern herb that's used for breaking evil eye, as well as also for jinn magic. And I work with aspand a lot, John the Conqueror, basil, and rose. Those are the other ones. And for me, this is like the core of the roots and herbs that I work with. These spirits are not just, these plants aren't just elements that I add to a spell, but are spirits that come through for me.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys have herbs like that?
In the chat room, Michael mentioned that she classifies roses as having a set of different scents, and this is true, but I have to just say, I'm such a rose fanatic that I have recognized many families of rose scent, and I'm going to list some of them here: tea, orange, raspberry, powder, soap, sweet, bread-like, cloves, nutmeg. I mean, there's all of these different scents and different rose. I am such a rose fanatic that if I really am doing a very personal piece of work, I will find the correct rose. In other words, I have 350 varieties of roses growing on my property, folks. Each one different. And mm-hmm. each one can be used in different magic. That's how connected I am to roses. And
just like the color of the rose.
Just like the color. Well, the color's part of it. The color's part of it.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I just have to give you a big shout-out, yes, on calamus. And calamus,
oh,
is,
yeah.
Calamus is a part of the ancient Jewish holy oil. And calamus
mm-hmm.
is definitely,
mm-hmm.
definitely really an important Middle Eastern scent.
Yeah. You could see my genetics, if you will, or my cultural background through the herbs that I work with. I mean, basil, rose, aspen, rue, and calamus, right? These are old, very old school Mediterranean, Middle Eastern herbs.
That's right. That's right. So then we can also talk about some of the other things that that I happen to love to go into. Rue is an interesting one. You rue. Rue is the taxonomic leader of the actually of the orange family, which is bizarre because they are the Rutaceae. And if you look at a rue fruit, it looks like a tiny little orange or a lime or something. It's a little
yeah,
segmented
a little
thing.
It's always thought about that.
Yeah, yeah, right. It is. It's like the Rutaceae. Actually, I mean, it, somehow it got to be the lead member. However, rue is something that will send me away. I cannot work happily with rue. I know what it does. I like it. I use it
mm-hmm.
to avert the evil eye, but I don't put rue in a bag that I would carry on my person. But I will
mm-hmm.
put
mm-hmm.
I will put orange and clove and a few other, you know, things that are connect to rue scent-wise a little bit. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's real interesting. And aspond is fantastic. Aspond is really great. So everyone has a different theme. One of my very good friends and colleagues, Dr. James Dotson, who is a perfumer and once taught a workshop at the Hoodoo Heritage Festival on perfume and incense, and his article that came out of that is in the Black Folder book, if you all have that book. He once laughed at me. He's got a very good nose. He was once opening up bottles that I had at the shop, and he'd open up and he'd go, "Oh, rose, rose." And then he turned to me and he goes, "Kat, you have more ways to use rose than most people do." He could see
mm-hmm.
that I was putting different blends of rose into different oils because there's always a use for rose, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is a great topic, and I'm awful sorry. We have to cut this short because here's the music, and we got to go on to doing our readings. But, Kai, we got to talk about this some more, okay?
Part two.
We are going to have part two of this, and we're going to give some of our favorite plants and what we like about them. All right, you're listening to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour on the LMC Radio Network, and we'll be right back after this break doing some readings.
The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour with your hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Conjure Man Ali, and this week's special guest, Kai Armand, will be right back. We'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination, and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediations. Our calling clients are selected from among those who fill out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. If you filled out the client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1. Let us know that you're available to be on the air. We'll be selecting our callers by area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Papa Newt, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our host. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our first caller. Our first caller is calling from area code 914 in New York. This is Alicia. Alicia, are you there?
Hi.
Hi, welcome to the show. Alicia, you are a return caller. You had a reading before in November, but what year was that, hon?
That was 2014.
Oh, in 2014. And situations has changed since then, and you're calling in on a whole completely different situation, correct?
Yes.
All right, and I do see that you have gone to other readers, local readers, back in October 14 and January 15 of this on the situation. And she writes,
Local readers have told me I'll have success in my finances. One told me I would be offered a job making a lot of money, and I would choose not to go back to school. I would like to know more input on this. Turn it back over to you, Ms. Katz.
All right. Well, that's a very interesting situation. I'm not here to second-guess local readers. I don't know who they are or why you bring this question to me, so I'm going to just start with a couple of questions. Number one, what is your sign of the zodiac?
Aquarius.
Aquarius, all right. And you were asking these other readers about finance, or they just volunteered that?
It was just a general reading, and they brought it up.
I see. Okay. And may I ask about how old you are?
I just turned 22.
22. All right. Well, everybody, 22 can be promised some success in finance because you're just starting your career in your business. So what I'm going to do is, and I got one more question. I would choose not to go back to school. Are you not in school now?
I actually had to leave 6 months ago.
You had to leave school 6 months ago. And what were you studying then?
Animation.
Animation, as in animated art, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. All right. What I'm going to do is throw three cards down here, and I'm going to see what I get. Card number one is the Page of Wands, otherwise known as the Princess of Wands. And this is a young woman who is aiming high. She has a 6 foot tall measuring stick, and she's not quite 5 foot tall, probably. And she's aiming up at the stars and looking, and she's about to set forth to measure the world. She's got a little cap on with a red feather in it. It says she will have high position. So I'm going to go along with these people. Not a lot of money, but I'm actually seeing that you will have a very successful career. But you need to move into that career. This is a card of exploring the world and setting forth on your business. It's a very interesting card. I was not, I don't know the local readers, but I'm seeing something here that shows you will have great success in your life. This is seems to be pretty good. Okay. The next card is a card that's a bit of a danger card and a warning card, and it's kind of an unhappy card. And it's called the Nine of Swords, and it shows a woman waking up in a bed crying with nine swords behind her in the sky. And she's had a bad dream or a nightmare. And we always tell this lady, if you would just open your eyes, you'd look around, you'd see you're safe. But it shows that you might have things that are troubling you, and that there's a bit of a worry surrounding you. It doesn't mean a curse at all, but it can mean a tendency toward doubt, self-doubt, depression, or possibly just a feeling of being out of sorts with the world. What we always tell the person who gets this card is you need to do some cleansing. Look around you, see what's available. You have a lot of friends. When we say this, because she's got a quilt on her bed, and it's in the form of what used to be called a friendship quilt, where everybody, different people, contribute squares. And it shows all the signs of the zodiac. And it shows, by the way, red roses every other square. So we were just talking about plant spirits. Go to those roses. Roses might be a good for you. But it says here that any doubt you have is going to be helped by the third card. And the third card is a card called the Knight of Cups. And this shows a person who is journeying on. They've come through a sort of a dry desert time, and they've found a little stream, and across the stream is a cliff, and on top of the cliff some oak trees, which stand for stability. And then going down the stream, the only way you could get around to where you need to go, there's a bunch of small trees, like willows or little cottonwoods or something, and those stand for smaller goals, but eventually you will reach the top. So what I see here is that possibly you called because of a moment of doubt, maybe wanting confirmation. I can confirm that you will have a varied and interesting life, a varied and interesting career. Now, Tarot doesn't read your whole life, but what I'm seeing here is that as you go forward in life, as you move forward, you will be going to different places, you will have varied experiences, and you will be rewarded, I guess we could say, as a person who has a great deal of talent. However, right now, if you feel some disorientation or doubt, open up your eyes, look around you, see who's there, who really is your friend, and then bathe and cleanse yourself. The Knight of Cups often stands for drinking teas, herbal teas, and also for not losing your faith, and setting yourself some small goals at first, because you will eventually reach a very high goal. So that's how I see this at the present time. Now, there's one other thing I want to say about this, and this is just kind of a little bit off the topic. When people come to me and they say that one reader says this, and they want to know if I can confirm it or disconfirm it, and we're going to have another reader read on you too, I'm always a little worried, and I want to just say something here as quick as I can. No blame to you, but it is difficult when a reader feels that what we're getting is what I call shopped. You know what I mean? It's like 6 out of 10 readers agree, or 7 out of 10 readers agree, or 9 out of 10 readers agree. We're not here to be, sampled. What I see does show some trouble in the center. I don't know if the other readers did or not, or if they only saw the beginning and the end. But I do see that there's some trouble in the center, and that trouble can have to do with feelings of, loneliness, doubt, and depression. So just, I say it for what it's worth, but in the end, you come out fine. Okay? That's what I have to say about this. Let me turn this over to Kai and see how he reads it.
Well, it's so funny that you were led to cards that spoke to travel and sort of upward mobility, because I've thrown some cards that I've also done some bibliomancy using King James Bible. And the scripture I was brought to was Acts chapter 27, verse 5. And when we had sailed over the Sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. And there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing to Italy, and he put us therein. So I'm also seeing this mobility, your having left school is in no way pausing or dropping your career off. That is absolutely not the case here. Those who see success in your future, I would have to agree with them that things are moving in a good way. In a good way, for the most part, because from the card that pulled, I also have to agree with Ms. Kat on the interesting combination of success being imminent, but there being a bit of a snag, and that's something that I'm sure Congressman Ali will be addressing, and I have something to say to that too. But with the card that pulled, I have the Magician card, and I literally pulled this card as Ms. Kat was saying, aiming high, and I said, that's right. And the next card I have here is the Magician is an actor. The Magician is bringing things into manifestation, which you are doing. And it's a wonderful card for people who are artists, because it's showing me that this person is excellent at manifesting vision and manifesting aesthetic. However, I also have the Eight of Wands card and the Six of Cups card. The Eight of Wands card is energy moving quickly. Again, we have this energy of travel, but when I see the Magician and the Eight of Wands next to each other, I often get a bit of a because these two images sometimes have the idea, the connotation of being someone throwing magic at you, which I'm not seeing as actually being the case, someone throwing magic at you, but you might be susceptible right now to some kind of energy. It could be evil eye. It could be someone around you who is sort of thwarting your efforts simply based on their jealousy, or fear. I'm not seeing active spiritual attack against you, but I am seeing that there's a cloud kind of blocking your sun. It's translucent. It's not an opaque cloud, but there is something that can be done to sort of go, shoot, get out of here, that would sort of brighten up your days a bit and help the fog lift over the success that you are, that's sort of coming to you and that you're already sort of in that ship moving toward.
All right. Well, let's see what Ollie has to say in terms of root work. But before we go, I wanted to ask Kai, what was that Bible verse that you had? I didn't catch
that.
Sure. It was
Book of Acts, chapter 27, verses 5 and 6.
Thank you. Okay, thanks. Okay, go ahead, Ollie.
Thank you. I think those were wonderful readings, and I concur entirely. I think that this is a question that has been on your mind a lot, and not unusually so, given the age that you're in. There's whole studies talking about this whole new thing called the quarter-life crisis, right? The idea of what do I do now, right? The what do I do now question. People who are entering in the quote-unquote real world, whether they just left school or whatever it is. I see that this question has plagued you for a bit, and you are very curious about it, and you're worried about your success, and you're worried about money, and you're worried about where this is all going. And that's that Nine of Swords, right? That's that worry that we see there. I think you also, to a certain extent, wondered if you're willing to put it all on the line. Travel has come up quite a bit. I sense that you've considered travel already and may still be considering travel or will consider travel at one point. So be aware of that. The travel plays a factor in here, that you've considered it in the past and it will come up once more in your life because your life is moving and it's very mobile. And so the type of working that I'm going to recommend is a mobile type of working, meaning that you can carry it with you. This is not a case where I would consider a big altar of success or something along those lines, because I do get an impression that at some point you may end up elsewhere than you currently are. You may end up in a different location entirely. So what I want you to do is start out with a nice cleansing bath. Bath is good. We got that Knight of Cups in there. It'll help to fortify you. It'll help to remove doubts. I'm thinking a bath that really kind of uplifts and cleanses at the same time. So I want basil, bay, and lemongrass. You're going to take these herbs, brew them into a tea. They're very powerful, very uplifting, and you're going to bathe yourself from head to toe using this tea. Make sure that you air dry. I would recommend doing this over 3 days. Every single day, air dry. Gather a bit of the used bath water and dispose off of your property at a crossroads or running river. People always ask, do I have to dispose of bath water every single day? And I say yes. Why? Because I like people to take action, right? If you want change in your life, you have to start with work that makes you act. And that's very important here. One of the things Kat mentioned is, you know, this kind of shopping for readers. For me, more than just shopping, it's a matter of, at some point, you need to stop getting readings and just do it, right? And so that's what I want you to do, is make sure you do this cleansing bath, remove the used bath water off of your property. Then what I want you to do is I want you to go back out to a crossroads. Pick a crossroads that you're really, really drawn to, a crossroads that's going to be, that spiritually calls out to you. You're going to go out there, you're going to light yourself a candle, and by light of that candle, you are going to fashion yourself a mojo bag. Okay? I want you to put into this mojo bag five-finger grass that you may be successful for with all five of your fingers. I want you to put a pinch of cinnamon to draw in success and money. I want you to put a small lodestone grit. I don't want you to go get those big lodestones, just a small lodestone grit, a little small piece. And you're going to put a pinch of magnetic sand in it. You're going to put alfalfa to protect yourself and your money. You're going to put bayberry for drawing in money. You're going to put a bay leaf in there for success. Very powerful solar herb. And I also want you to take just a pinch of that crossroad dirt that you're at, and you're just going to put a pinch of that into the mojo bag. And you're going to call on the spirit of the crossroads to aid you in this work so that no matter which direction you take, you are led to success. Whether you go north, east, west, south, whichever direction you go, every step you take, it leads you one step closer to your success. You're going to take some whiskey, pour it after the spirit of the crossroads, call on the Lord, your creator, whoever it is, and fill that mojo bag with spirit and prayer, awaken those herbs as your ally, breathe your prayer into that bag, tie the bag up with 3 knots, feed it some whiskey, and you're going to carry that bag with you wherever you go from now on. Once a week, take that bag out, feed it a little bit of whiskey. Daily, you should be working that mojo bag, meaning I want you to hold that mojo bag. I want you to speak to that mojo bag. I want you to give it a name. That's your ally. If you find a job you're interested in, whisper the name of that job to that mojo bag. If you're interested in going into a direction, you know, should I really be going down that path? Whisper it to your mojo bag. Work that thing daily. Hold it in your hand. Keep it on your body at all times. And once a week, feed that. For it is your ally, and it will stand with you and stand firm. Do this working, starting off with a nice cleansing bath to fortify, uplift, and cleanse. And follow up with a mojo bag, and I sense that you will do well. Like Kat said, it may not be financially prosperous right off the bat. That's okay. Don't be alarmed. All the readers you've gone to, including us here, have seen success for you. Take some faith and confidence in that.
Yeah, I think that that's a really good way to put it, because it's a matter here of actually stopping listening to advice and taking some advice. I think that's great.
Mm-hmm.
So we've all kind of agreed on that.
Yeah.
And the mojo that Conjurman Ali said absolutely sounds wonderful. Since your interest is in animation, I would possibly also use some of those herbs and put in maybe a little sample of your drawing or something like that into the bag. Something like, you know, may I be hired?
Mm-hmm.
Or take a sample of your drawing to a crossroads. Now, in the chat room, we were asked, is any place where two streets cross a crossroad? Well, some people say yes. Way I was taught, no. Way I was taught was a place where there was a stoplight was a crossroad. That was more of a major type of crossroad.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I was taught. But people would say, oh, don't just go down to where there's just two streets across or a four-way stop, but you want to have a light. I don't know why. That's what they told me. Now, is that traditional? No, of course not. Streetlights didn't even exist back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what I was told in the 1960s. Different people do it differently, and there's not just
mm-hmm.
one way to do it. Okay. Anyone
I'd like
else
to
want
add to this?
Yeah.
That I do see that something to ward off evil eye energy in some capacity, I do believe would be helpful here. Two ways of going about this, very, very simple. Getting yourself a Nazar pendant or piece of jewelry, smoking that in a bit of rue if you'd like to. You don't have to, but that's just something that I like to do. When I am giving that to or providing that for a client, I like to smoke it in a bit of sort of anti-evil eye herb that speaks to that, such as a thong or rue. And you can also put some rue in a cloth pouch and hang that above your door. Now, I know that the work that Conjurman Ali provided for you was meant to be mobile, and, you know, obviously we're all seeing travel for you, so that might not be something that stays for a very long time, but just being sure that you are definitely keeping yourself free of others' projections onto you is something that I would suggest here.
Yeah, I'm that makes sense to me. All right, hon. Well, we hope that you got some good advice here. And I'm going to just say, too, as far as animation goes, one other thing is it's a tough field. Make sure that you work with other people in that field. Get somebody to be a kind of a guiding spirit or leader to you. That's all I can say to that. Some graveyard dirt, maybe, from a good animator. All right. Thanks for calling. Y'all listening to
Thank you.
The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour on the LMC Radio Network, and we'll be right back after this break with another quick reading for a client.
Support for this programming is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners located online at readersandrootworkers.org, and by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our next client, who is calling all the way from Tennessee with area code 901. This is Candy Crush. Candy Crush, are you there?
Yes.
Welcome to the show. And this is your first time to the show. Welcome. And I do
thank you.
Well, you're very welcome. And I noticed that you've said that you had a reading before with Miss Kat or Contraman Ali. Which one was this private reading for? With
Miss Kat.
With Miss Kat. Okay, and that was in January 2015. And on the same situation. Let's see here. All right, and she writes, I recently completed an uncrossing spell for 13 days on my man. Since doing that, he has been acting very strange, texting or calling me only once a day, rushing on the phone or in person, avoiding or rejecting me sexually, whereas when we first dated, he couldn't keep our hands off each other. On Valentine's Day, I heard from him once by text. We didn't even spend time with together at all. I was hurt and upset. He said he had a headache and that he didn't like celebrating Valentine's Day and would have to make up it to me another time. I want to find out who did this and what to do to remove it completely if my attempts failed. Turning back over to you, Ms. Kat.
All right. Well, I have here three photos, and I don't believe I have ever done photopsychometry on the radio. Now, all y'all can't see the photos, but I've got three photos. So if I may, I'd like to just quickly ask a question here. Unfortunately, this is theoretically Ali's time to do the reading, see, and I've been given these photos. But I'm going to just ask a couple of questions here. I see the photo called The Man. There's a photo of a woman in a car. Is that you?
No.
And then there's a photo of a woman in a hat. Is that you?
No, those are his exes.
Those are his exes.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
I'm just going to tell you straight up, the lady in the hat put something on him. Seriously. The lady in the car, she's got her own problems, and he has definitely had something put on him. I'm going to leave it at that because this is not my time to do the reading. So I'm going to turn this over to Ali. But I'm going to tell you, Ali, what we're looking at here in terms of photopsychometry is a man who has a cloud of confusion and has been placed upon him. Okay? I'm just going to tell you that straight up. Ali knows what I'm talking about, right? Okay. Thanks for sharing the pictures, okay? And it was the lady in the hat who did it. Okay.
Thank you for that, Kat. Kat is a brilliant at psychometry reading, so I'm very happy we had an opportunity to see that. In general, we don't see that very often on the radio show, so how exciting. I have done a geomantic reading, and in this case, I would say reading your situation and the geomantic reading, you were very justified in your doubts and your worries here. I do want to state one thing, though. Fluctuations in communication and affection and stuff like that happen, all right? And the reason I'm going to say that is because you're going to get some great advice on how to undo this mess and how to remove the roots that have been placed on him. But that doesn't mean an immediate change in his behavior, right? While he'll be free of the mess, that doesn't suddenly mean he'll text you 20 times a day. And I'm telling you this from a guy's perspective. Just because a guy only texts you once a day does not mean he's suddenly not interested. I, for example, am notorious for having fluctuations in communication. There are times when I'm readily available and I'm able to text my girlfriend frequently. And there's other times where I think I texted her, but I completely forgot. Now, that doesn't make me a bad boyfriend. It just makes me absent-minded and forgetful. So there are fluctuations, and you're not going to see an immediate change in the communication right off the bat. Now, the Valentine's Day thing, that's inexcusable in my mind. All guys need to know that right off the bat. So going straight into the geomancy reading, I have pulled up a chart here. And because you're technically asking about someone else, I have to confirm the chart. So we're asking about your lover, not you. So we take the seventh house, which is the house of lovers, and we take that as the first house. And the very first figure that we have here is Rubius. And this is a very clear sign that something is wrong. Rubius is traditional for geomantic practices, especially as practiced by Western geomancers. When Rubius shows up, you're supposed to rip apart the chart and throw it away and not read for another. But in this case, I consider, in my tradition, we don't burn up the chart. We continue to read it, especially if the chart is turned. Rubius is the cup overturned. What is right has been made wrong. What has been upright has been turned over. Something is wrong. Love is off balance. Because when it's upright, it's obvious that it's up. It's a goblet. So this is an indication that there is a problem here. Most specifically, Rubius is ruled by Scorpio and Mars and rules the genitals. Some work has been done, not just to confuse his mind, but to tie up this man's nature. His sex is being targeted. So it's not just that he's confused.
I'm sorry, you're breaking up. Hello?
He certainly is confused as well.
Hello, wait, hold on just a second. Ollie, your phone is breaking up real bad. Caller couldn't hear you. What he said was that it's not just a problem of confusing his mind, but his nature has been tied. All right?
Yeah.
Let's see
if
we
can... Hear me now?
No, Ollie, your phone is just cutting in and cutting out. We don't know why, but we're having a hard time. Yeah. Let's see if we can move into Kai doing some reading now, and maybe Ollie can rejoin us. Maybe he'll have to dial back in again because we cannot
hear. Is my phone still cutting in and out?
Now it's good.
Yeah, you sound better.
Now you sound better.
Wonderful. Let me just finish this reading then.
Okay,
good. Rubius is a very clear sign that something has been done towards the genital, so it's sex has been tied up. I can also confirm this by looking further and seeing Rubius passes into the ninth house of the turn chart. This is work that has been done from afar, and it is magical work of some sort. The ninth house rules all sorts of magic, usually divination and spirituality and things of that sort. So this person is working within their tradition, something that they're familiar with. This person hasn't gone to a professional or someone else. This is something that they know how to do. It's something that may have been passed down in their family, part of their religious background, part of their spiritual background, but they have done this to this man. The 12th house, the house of curses, has Wea. Now, Wea is actually a blessed symbol in traditional Hatal Ramu geomancy practice, indicating that while curse is present, while its sex has been fixed, you can remove it. And you're going to have to work with ancestors in this particular case because that moves into the 8th house. So working with his ancestors is going to be the way to undo this mess and restore balance. So in addition to uncrossing work, you're going to have to do some type of uncrossing work that involves the cemetery or involves his ancestors. And that's what I see with this particular reading.
All right. Now, what we're going to do next is go to Kai and see what he has to say about it.
Well, turning to bibliomancy again, the King James Bible was brought to the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 28, verse 21. And I'm not going to read it because of time. It's a rather long verse, but there is talk of priests, Levites, and skilled men, which is very, very obvious indicator of, yes, work has been done, and it has been well done to thwart your cleansing efforts for your partner. And throwing some cards, and I threw three down, and they almost speak to exactly what Conjurman Ali has shared with us. The Page of Swords sits before us, with these birds flying over his head. There is an issue of confusion. There's an issue of not being able to see well, a lack of clarity and mental manipulation at play. The King of Coins sits next to this. The man's eyes are closed, and he is not paying attention to what is around him. He is sort of a sitting duck while these things are happening to him. And yes, I will have to agree with Conjurman Ali as well. There has been something that has been done to this man's nature, because the Page of Wands here, which in my reading sometimes and right now absolutely indicates trickery regarding sex and regarding the genital, is present here as well. So I have to completely agree with everything that has been said before, and I am so grateful that we just had a commentary reading, the very first on the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour. May there be more.
What was your second card, Kai? The something of
my
coins.
My second card was the King of Coins. The King of Coins.
King of Coins. Oh, yes. Him. Yes. Okay. So, what we're seeing here now is that work has been done on this person, and I'm going to agree with this. I'm going to go back a little bit to the psychometry, since now it looks like we've got our readings here. Here's part of what I'm feeling, honey, and I don't want to like blame the victim here, but this guy, he's an easy target. He's an easy victim. I look at his photo, and he has there's a piece of image, a vision that comes to me from his photo that he has almost like allowed this to happen to him. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Now, you did some uncrossing on him, correct?
Yes.
But this is a hard thing to explain here. This man is somewhat complicit in his own difficulties. He's not stepping up to the plate to take complete responsibility for clarity in his own life, in my opinion. Now, I am concerned, and we have here indications that the person who did this was very good at it, and I would think. And you said you did an uncrossing. Was this done in person or was it done by proxy, long distance?
I didn't do the complete Lucky Mojo uncrossing because I didn't have the money for the spell kit.
No,
so
that's
I just
right.
kind
of
used.
There's no just
you know,
one way to do it.
Some
but
them.
What I'm asking is, okay. Was it done in person or was it done by proxy?
Did she do it in person or in proxy, or did I do it in person?
No. Did you do the uncrossing? You said you did it with household products for 13 days and candles. What I'm asking is, did you actually do it on him physically, or did you do it?
I didn't do it on him. He has no idea that
any
of this is going on,
We call that doing it by proxy. So let me explain a little. By proxy means that you can make a doll and wash the doll, or you can just hold the person in prayer and cleanse them, or use a photo or something that you're going to cleanse, but it's called a proxy, you see, because it's not really them. This is the part of the problem, I think, here, is that he has more on him than that could take off. And what's happened here is that it has set into place a little bit we might call a distant early warning system of the person who did tie him up, who goes, oh, wait a minute, someone's knocking at the door. See what I'm saying? They're aware of it now. So you may need to either get a stronger helper, you may need to actually get something on him, because now he's avoiding sex with you, and that means that this thing that's been set in place is actually keeping you from getting intimate with him. So, and he's saying he has a headache and he sleeps all day and doesn't like celebrating. This is all signs that something is going on much deeper than what you did. And in fact, what you did really was kind of rattle the cage enough that someone knew that they could hold him tighter. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, I'm not saying you're a bad worker for this, and believe me, I am not saying that you need to use only Lucky Mojo products or anything like that. No, sweetheart. What I'm saying is this case is a lot deeper than you thought going in. And so you really received a response here. You kind of tried to free him up from this, and the cage got tighter. You see? You get where I'm going with that? I also said, and again, I'm looking at this man's face, he's a little bit complicit in this. And yes, I would say that your attempts have failed to this point. So what we got to first do, the lady in the hat, oh, my God, you got to put her between two mirrors, okay? Do you know how to do that? You just take two mirrors and put her?
I don't know how to do that.
Oh boy. Well, she's got to be stopped. You got, and you can take the other one too. The ex-wife, if you want to. She's a piece of work, but she's not as powerful as the lady in the hat. The ex-wife and the lady in the hat. Put them pictures back to back and put them between two mirrors. Make a picture small, and I want you to take. You can take some vinegar and red pepper powder, whatever you want to take like that. Mix it to a paste, and you're going to draw an X across each face. Put them back to back so that the and write their names on the backs so that each face is facing out. So in other words, you have like a little picture with one picture on one side, one on the other, and then X them out. With a mix of just moisten some red pepper powder with vinegar, make an X right across them, and then you're going to put it between two flat mirrors. These can be like little pocket mirrors. And then you're going to take and wrap those mirrors. I use little rectangular mirrors or square, and you're going to wrap them with black thread. You're just going to go round and round and round one way, and then you can turn and go round and round and round the other way, so that you've actually wrapped up those two mirrors with those two pictures in them like a little package. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're going to do this by the light of a black candle only, no electric lights, black candle, and you're going to, you can dress that candle if you want to with, you know, some Run Devil Run oil or something of that nature, but you don't, if you don't have the money for that, then just a black candle is sufficient unto the day. You can then, when you tie the knot on this little package, you're going to tie 9 knots. You can tie a knot, go round and round a few more times, tie another knot. But each time you tie a knot, you're going to drip a little of that black wax from that candle onto it. I use a little freestanding candle, not one of the big glass ones. And then you've got this little package all tied up. Now, that is to tie them up. And as you do this, you're going to be praying any one of a number of prayers, but Psalms 37 is a good one, and Psalms 1 is a good one, and there's a few others that are more, even more dangerous to those people. But what you're basically going to be praying is, let all the evil that they do go back to them as God wills it. And always say, as God wills it. As God wills it, to the extent that they should be punished, let them receive the full reflection of the evil that they've done. Now, I've had people to do this kind of work, and then they call me up all freaked out. My God, she died. 3 days later, she died. Well, is it my fault? Is it my fault? No, you asked for the return of the evil, and it happened, okay? Now, I'm not saying these ladies are so evil that they will die, but be prepared, if you do this kind of work, that that you will send it back to them, okay? After you've done this, and I want you to take this little mirror and take it to a graveyard and bury it, and after you've done that, then I want you to work on doing some more cleansing with him, okay? Now, let's see what Kai has to say, or Ali. Can all you all jump in there?
I agree entirely. My own divination was pointing at the need for this, for whatever was going to happen, to begin with some reversing work, to begin with some binding and reversing work. And I the simplicity and efficacy of what Ms. Kat just described, I believe, would absolutely take care of them. And from there, I would suggest, if it's possible, to give him a gift of, say, a nice body wash, or get him like a nice Axe body wash. You can even mail it to him with a card, I miss you. Something is a trick to get some work on him to remove the work that's been done. And you can fix such a body wash with an unjinxing and reversing oil, even a cut and clear oil that you've specified that he is emotionally disconnected from any other women besides yourself. And you can name those women as you are adding these oils to that body wash. If you wanted to, if you had any rue on hand, which is just a well-known, it's coming up because it's such a wonderful plant spirit, to add that there for breaking apart that witchcraft and throw a sprig of rue in there, I believe that you'll find that this work removed.
Okay. All right, baby. You got your marching orders. All right.
Okay.
We're going to come back with our free spell, and thank you very much, Kai, for that good add-on to that.
You are listening to another fine production of the LMC Radio Network, whose art and information may be found on its webcast shows. The LMC Radio Network is a community radio alliance of metaphysical, spiritual, inspirational, and political justice broadcasters spanning a wide range of topics. On Mondays, get ready for Candelo's Corner. Starring Candelo Cambisa and Malik Cambisa, this is the voice of authentic Cuban Palo and Dominican Sanse in the United States, with special guests representing the entire range of African traditional and diasporic religions. You can hear Candelo's Corner Monday evenings from 5 to 7 Pacific Time. On Tuesdays, a pair of outstanding hosts point the way to essential values. First, on the Crystal Silence League Hour, John St. Germain provides spiritual guidance in the practical use of crystals and crystal balls for the development of mental concentration, mind power, divination, and telepathic communication. His show airs Tuesday evenings from 5 to 6 o'clock Pacific Time. Once you have your bearings, engage in activism and social justice in the streets with Beverly Smith. Beverly brings listeners front-page reports on the ongoing struggle for racial, gender, and social justice, shedding much light on civil and social rights issues. Her cry for freedom begins at 6 p.m. Pacific Time and inspires us for 1 hour. On Wednesdays, Andrea Weston's Liquid Libations pour forth to bless us with poetry, short stories, and spoken word performances. If you are a poet or someone who simply enjoys the beauty and power of words, then Liquid Libations welcomes your participation. Call in and read your work. Listen for Liquid Libations on Wednesdays from 5 to 6:30 p.m. Pacific Time. On Thursdays, from deep in the heart of Texas, it's the Now You Know Show with Professor Porterfield. In a variety show laced with country wit and biblical wisdom, the silver-tongued professor shares his knowledge of roots and delivers the lucky numbers. From 6 to 7:30 p.m. Pacific Time, there's no end to the surprises. And on Saturdays, Kai Armand broadcasts On Sacred Ground, a tapestry of our times, comprising history, ethnography, and shamanism, featuring the voices of the land and the deceased, aided by scholars, spirit workers, and environmentalists. Kai's show airs from noon to 1:30 p.m. Pacific Time. All shows on the LMC Radio Network are sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company, located in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. Add 3 hours for Eastern. Tax and license may apply. Train departure times and Burma Shave signs subject to change without notice. LMC.
We have reached now the free spell segment here on the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rubric Hour with our special guest, Kai Armand of ConjureInTheCity.com. Turning it over to you, Kai.
Thank you so much, and thank you so much again for having me on the show. Before I give this quick spell, it's going to be very, very quick, I just want to give a quick story of a time where I was teaching about working with plant spirits, and I led the group that I was teaching into a sort of a light meditative state to find a plant spirit ally that had medicine for where they were in their lives. And one of the participants was simply just so surprised that in the meadow that she found herself in the visualization, it was filled with daisies. It was filled with daisies, and she just was brought to the fact that there was a bereftment of playfulness in her life. And Daisy was showing up in this very simple meditation. Again, we didn't go into any deep trance states. It was very, very simple. Daisy was showing up in her life to give her that nudge toward the playfulness that she was lacking in her life so that she could begin to integrate that and possibly find life a bit more pleasant. Of course, visualization techniques and meditation don't show up too much in hoodoo, but what does are dreams. So this is a very simple dream spell for calling in a plant spirit ally into your life that has the medicine that you need right now. And what you're going to do is you are going to take a white candle and you are going to anoint that white candle with a bit of psychic vision and a bit of clarity oil. And you're going to burn this white candle just a little while before you go to bed. And this white candle is not only a spell to help induce dreams, but this candle is also an offering. It is an offering to the plant spirit kingdom. It is an offering to the green kingdom. You are saying, green kingdom, I need some support. I need some medicine from you. I know that there are probably some things about myself that could be better, that could be, you know, healed. I want to get out of my own way. I want to stop standing in my own way through self-sabotage. What is the plant spirit that would most benefit me at this time? And you're going to make a pouch by the light of this white candle to which you are going to add Althea root. Althea root, which is wonderful for healing. You're going to add mugwort, which is going to be a helpful for helping to induce this dream for you. And you're going to add a bit of tobacco as well. And tobacco to help make a connection, to help with the communication efforts between you and the plant spirit kingdom. And you can put this in a pouch of any color. I would suggest white. And you're going to place this inside or under your pillow. And of course, you're going to snuff out that candle before you go to bed because it's burning by your bedside. And you're going to dream. And when you wake up in the morning, you're going to write down your dreams, and you're going to write them down in first-person present tense. So you're not going to write, oh, there was a room, and there was this lady. You're going to write, I am in a room, there is a lady, blah, blah, blah. Because writing dreams in that way puts you right back in the moment of the dream. It helps the rest of the dream become clear to you while you're writing it. And you might not have the dream on the first night. You might not have it on the second night, but you will dream, and there will be a plant in that dream within that week. If you work at that diligently, within that week, a plant spirit will show up. And I would suggest then going and researching that plant. Research that plant if it's imbibable and with no disclaimers. You know, obviously you want to check that out. It might be something that you can drink as a tea, expressing gratitude to it, asking it, what medicine do you hold for me? What are you trying to teach me? How can I embody your perspective? Or it might be a plant that you simply put in a pouch and keep in your pocket, or simply sprinkle again around a white candle by your bed. The uses are endless, but begin to form a connection, a relationship with this plant spirit ally that you've invited, and work with that plant spirit ally over a period of no less than 1 month. And you will find that ally to have created a bridge for you from one state of being in your life to another. And that is my spell.
Oh, that's really great.
That's fantastic.
I love these dream spells because they are so powerful. And if people diligently follow them, you will have a dream that will lead you to this. And it can be life-changing, absolutely life-changing.
Well, you know me. I love anything involving dreams.
Yeah. Well, you know, now it's funny. I mentioned earlier plants that people are allergic to. I'm allergic to mugwort. So if I was going to do this spell, I'm completely allergic. I'd be sneezing
all
night.
Oh, yes, that is true. You are.
So, yeah, I am. So I would use hops instead of mugwort. But see, this is how we all get to know and learn our plant allies and our plant enemies.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, I'm going to turn this over to our dear announcer, Papa Newt, and let him take us out of here. It's been a wonderful show, Kai. Thanks.
Thank you, Ms. Kat and Conjurman Ali, and thank you, Kai Armand of Conjure in the City in Brooklyn, New York, for being our guest this week. We invite you to join next week when our special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers will be Ms. Michael of HoodooFoundry.com in Willits, California, discussing self-confidence and affirmation. Once again, we've come to the end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rework Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Kat via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Conjurman Ali at conjurmanali.com in Mission Viejo, California. I'm your announcer, Papa Newt, joining you from papanewt.com in Kansas City, Missouri. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rework Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, and the shows are available in archive via Lucky Mojo Forum, luckymojo.com/radio.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to thank you for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at the same time when you'll hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you, Papa Newt. And I've been informed that Miss Tammy Lee will return next week as our announcer. And once again, we've had a Taurus show. Is that correct? Everybody here Tauruses?
Yep.
Oh, absolutely.
Four Tauruses. Four Tauruses talking about plants. Come on. Isn't that great? And then four Tauruses.
Pleasant voices, good conversation, and great
things. Four Tauruses waltzing. I believe that the waltz is the Taurian dance of choice. Oh, yes, guys. I love you all. It's been really wonderful having you here, Kai. And we're going to come back and do more of this. You're going to have Contraband Ali on your show, and we'll have you back here doing more plants with us later. Now, everybody, get on over to the HoodooHeritageFestival.com and website and buy your tickets for the workshops May 16th and 17th, 2015. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.